As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. May be seated. What a wonderful congregation for such a warm day. My wife and I are listening to the news a couple days ago, and the Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Baltimore announced that the congregation could be excused on this Sunday because of the heat. And my wife and I just chuckled over that. Couldn't believe what we had just heard, actually. So it's great to see you all. And it is truly a joy to be back again. Some years ago, a number of years now, my wife Pam and our four daughters did an exchange with a church in Cottingham, England. The rector of that church and his family came to the church in which I was serving, and my wife and our girls went there. And I'm so glad that one of our daughters, our number one daughter, Bess, is with us this morning. And she just got back from Jamaica, and she lives in Annapolis, and here she is today. So anybody who slept in, there's no excuse, no excuse. But I'll never forget that trip. One of the more outstanding and unbelievable events was we decided one day to go to Scotland, and we were staying northeast of London by about 150 miles. And so we went to the train station, all six of us, and I had never done this before in England. And I bought tickets to go to Scotland. And they said that would be track number 3. So we walked to track number 3, got on one of the cars, waited patiently for the time to leave the station. The first 3 cars went to Scotland. We were in the 4th car. I doubt if they've ever seen the ugly American show his face like that. My daughters have seen that numerous times, but the first time I think they had seen an Anglican priest carry on like that. I was livid, just livid. And so we changed our plans because we were in the wrong car, and then went into London and had a delightful time. We did try once again to get to Scotland. We got there on time, got in the right train, the right car, and it had 2 emergency stops. And by the time we got to Scotland, I turned to our girls and I said, "We have 20 minutes before we had to get back on the train to go back to where we were staying." So we had 20 minutes in Scotland. A wonderful experience, as you can tell. But I couldn't help but think about that. And then to see our daughter Bess, I was thrilled this morning. But some years ago, the Archbishop of Canterbury was rushing to catch a train in London. And I know exactly how he felt. In his haste, however, he accidentally jumped on the wrong passenger car and found himself on a car full of inmates from a mental hospital. They were all dressed in their uniforms of the mental hospital, and there he sat among them. And just as the train pulled out of the station, an orderly came in and began to count the inmates. 1, 2, 3, 4. And he saw this gentleman wearing a round collar, and he said, "And who are you?" He said, "I'm the Archbishop of Canterbury." 5, 6, 7, 8. That's a true story, and I just love it. I just love it. One of my all-time favorite stories. And I think it shows it really is important to know who we are and who other people are. Who are we as members of the body of Christ? Who are we as followers of our Lord? Today's gospel passage is a wonderful one about Martha and Mary. This story has always been a challenge to me because of who I am. I tend to be very much like Martha, with a tiny bit of Mary. Often I find myself acting out justification by works instead of justification by faith. Now here I am, a retired Episcopal priest, and I'm with you all today. I had a wedding yesterday. Matter of fact, I was just mentioning to Margaret and Rick and Dominic that at the funeral, there were only 5 of us, which was a marvelous wedding in their home. And their son is Michael, and their grandson is Dominic. And I told Dominic about the Dominic I know, and he was delighted to hear that there was another Dominic that I had a chance to know. But it was a wonderful, wonderful wedding. And yet today, even though I'm retired, I had to be back in Lothian for a 1 o'clock interment in the churchyard in this wonderful weather. So I'll be rushing back there. And I so rejoiced when your rector called me to fill in this little time slot. And I so enjoy, as you all well know, I enjoy being here. This week, in preparation, I decided to look up Forward Day by Day. I can't deal with that little book, but I can with a nice-sized book with nice-sized print. But on this day, Sunday, July the 21st, is a beautiful statement. I grew up with a champion hostess. My mother will make an elaborate dinner and dessert entirely from scratch, sometimes even crafting a special table setting. She truly enjoys doing it, and we enjoy admiring and partaking in the fruits of her labor. But we often tease her by playfully sing song. Nothing's too much trouble. Nothing's too much trouble. Predictably, I can't help but fuss in my kitchen and rearrange furniture when hosting my own parties. I see myself in Martha, unable to let go of being the hostess and simply being in the moment. It feels like the right thing is to make everything perfect. Jesus isn't saying Martha is wrong for caring for her home and guests. He's simply inviting her to enjoy the party with him. I thought, what a beautiful way of explaining the Martha and the Mary. And in this wedding, where there were five of us yesterday in their home, I couldn't get over the fact that the bride had the most elaborate meal following the wedding. And there was enough food there for 20 more people to descend. And there would have been plenty. But she was so wrapped up in making sure everything was perfect. And I truly admired that and gave thanks to God. What a marvelous event we had yesterday afternoon. But I just prayed that the bride was able to take a brief moment and inhale what all of that was about yesterday. A delightful couple with their son and their grandson. So I was privileged to be a part of that yesterday. But she clearly acted out the role of Martha. And yet I know very well there's a lot of her that is caught up with Mary. And I can just imagine thinking about Martha and Mary with our Lord. She was running around trying to make sure everything was perfect. And there was Mary at the feet of our Lord. And I could so easily imagine Martha complaining to Jesus. I need help. And Mary is just sitting there at your feet. And I love what our Lord said. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. I grew up with a sister named Betsy. And I can remember many a time Betsy squawking at me because Betsy always was in the midst of doing something. Right now, she's in the midst of making zucchini relish. And I called last night, and she said, "Phew, I'm so tired. I just made 20 quarts of it. And I got to get up tomorrow after church and make 20 more." And I thought, why in the world are you making all that? It's just the two of them. And granted, they give a lot away, and I'm delighted to be one of the recipients. But holy mackerel. And I just hope she's enjoying the trip that we're all on. But do we take time to ask ourselves who we are? Who are we? Like the Archbishop of Canterbury on the train. Like Martha, we tend to get so caught up with the things, we lose sight of what life is all about. Years ago, I heard a true story about a young priest who had come right from seminary to, and back then it was only his, so it was a male priest, who went right to a small church. And he would squeeze in every single sermon, every drop of theology he had been taught in 3 years. And then he would talk about all the other possible passages of Scripture that applied to the gospel of that day. And he was always prepared to extend every bit of thought he'd ever accumulated at seminary into each sermon. And finally, a friend of mine did something. I really couldn't even believe he did it, but he did it. He put a very small piece of paper on the pulpit that upcoming Sunday, knowing that he couldn't help but see it. And it just had one biblical reference. It simply stated, John 12, verse 21. And leading up to that, beginning at verse 20, "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And by the next Sunday, he had grasped quite well what that little statement was saying. All the theology is wonderful, and all the historical notes are very important at times, and all the other passages of Scripture that might relate are wonderful. But so often, the people present simply are saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Powerful. In preparing for today, reflecting on my own experiences, I come upon many different thoughts, some of which I'll share and some of it I've decided are really not important to that question, "Sir, I wish to see Jesus." Each month, on the first Wednesday of the month, I go to Ginger Cove Retirement Community in Annapolis, and I celebrate the Eucharist, and I always have a homily. And one of our newly ordained deacons, I was really impressed with her, because she came up to me after the service, because I'd really tried to enlighten the homily and make it interesting and celebratory. And she said, "Bill, what are you doing?" And I thought for a moment, I didn't once give any reflection about Jesus. "Sir, I want to see Jesus." Yeah, they had the opportunity of somebody being with them and sharing some wonderful stories. But where is Jesus in the midst of all that? And I was so proud of her. I haven't told her my thoughts about that, because at first I was knocked over. But how true. "Sir, I wish to see Jesus." That's really what it's all about. And I did find an example in my own life. Years ago, when I was rector at St. James Parish in Lothian, I was designing a Wednesday evening Lenten program. And I've had the good fortune of knowing Mother Virginia, the superior at All Saints Convent, All Saints Sisters of the Poor in Catonsville. And I thought it would really be wonderful to have Mother Virginia come and speak to the congregation. And they certainly will be proud of the fact that I know Mother Virginia. And I called Mother Virginia and I said, "It's Bill Tickner." And I knew she'd know me because my parents were both associates at All Saints. And I said, "Is there any way that you could come down to St. James for a Wednesday night program in Lent?" And without any hesitation, she said, "I would be honored to. But I do need to have someone pick me up, and after the program, to take me home." And I said, "I will be more than glad to do that." And so I got to the convent, brought her home to St. James. She gave a marvelous, marvelous program for the parish. Very spiritual, very beautifully outlined, and with her presence, it was a marvelous evening. Well, I being the Martha, I was running all around, trying to make sure everything happened as it was supposed to, and making sure that I would drive her back to the convent and drop her off and then come home. At the end of that evening, I was exhausted. And there was Mother Virginia, calm and collected, as always. She's such a God-fearing, calm, quiet, pious Christian individual. So much like Mary. And I sat there envying that aspect of her life. I was clearly the Martha, and she was clearly the Mary. And I went online to share with you all, and I'll put it on the back table. But a beautiful picture of Mother Virginia. Just one of the kindest Christ-like people I've ever known. I wish to see Jesus. In her presence, you felt Jesus' presence. And she just died. And here's the obituary, which says so much about her. Virginia Roxalyn Marshall. I never knew her full name. Better known as Mother Virginia, sometime Superior of the All Saints Sisters of the Poor, passed into eternal life on the evening of April the 25th, 2019. Mother Virginia was born on July the 13th, 1915, the oldest daughter of Joseph and Sue Marshall in Lewis, Delaware. She led an active life, enjoying swimming, sailing, playing the piano, and swinging on a rope swing. It was while she was swinging she met and meditated on God. A chance meeting with several All Saints sisters walking the beach sparked her eventual vocation to the religious life. She earned a degree in music education and taught briefly before entering the community in 1940. Upon Mother's solemn profession in May 1943, she served the community as a driver and worked with the children at the St. Gabriel's Home for Children. In 1951, Mother Virginia was elected superior, a position she held for 37 years. She is credited with bringing many vocations to the community and overseeing several building projects as a result. During her tenure, Mother led many parish retreats, increased the number of associates, and wrote probably 100,000 letters, all the while leading an intense prayer life. She was a spiritual guide and friend to all who sought her counsel. And I know that our Lord has certainly welcomed her. And I'll just put these on the table in the back. What a beautiful, beautiful lady. Beautiful on the outside, and even more beautiful on the inside, Mother Virginia. But I have been thinking about her life ever since I heard that she had departed this life. And I thought, how marvelous it is that she could live a life like that and be so very much like Mary, as I'm running around being Martha. But God has something for each of us, and we need Martha's just as much as we need Mary's. But I think it's important to look at the balance within our lives. And I strive to have a little bit more of Mary and less of Martha. Amen.